You're listening to Leicester Build Back Better Stories, conversations about how communities across Leicester are planning for change following the pandemic. Over six programmes, we'll hear from people at the forefront of civic society in Leicester, and we'll find out how they are planning to do things differently in response to Leicester's extended lockdown. For further information about each of the topics covered in the programmes and extended versions of the conversations, go to the Leicester Stories website, leicesterstories.uk. The coronavirus lockdown has got many people who volunteer and work for community and civic society groups thinking about what it means to build back better in Leicester. What are the challenges of the future that we must anticipate? And how can we support a new generation of community leaders with fresh and innovative ideas to engage with everyone as we try to learn and improve? I'm Rob Watson, and over the summer, I've been spending time chatting with people who work for charities and civic society organisations in Leicester about what they think building back better means, not just as a slogan, but in practice. What do we need to start planning for so we're ready for the next set of challenges? Over six programmes, we've been hearing from people across Leicester who've been telling us what they think about the city and in what way they think life in Leicester can be improved. In this final episode, we'll hear from Sarah Diath, who's a computing sciences lecturer. We'll hear from Rhys Stafferton, who's the editor of the Leicester Citizen, and from Ruxana Hussein, who's a community campaigner. To start things off, Ryan Clayton, Leicester Stories community reporter, has been out asking people what they think of Leicester and what makes Leicester feel like home.
And we're going around asking people about the Build Back Better slogan. Have you heard it before?
No.
Any idea what it might mean if you saw it on like Twitter or social
build
media?
Build back better. Mm. I think it probably would be something about after the COVID-19, it would be something about building back the society and building back the things in a more efficient way, in a better way. Yeah. I read somewhere, probably it's just out of my mind, that some people were talking about reset. So probably that could be something else.
Is there anything about Leicester or the country in general that you'd like to see built back better?
Well, I think, you know, Leicester is a very unique city, very diverse. And we have been in a lockdown from last 18 months or something. So out of all of the cities in the country, Leicester needs to be built back better more than anyone else. I think to bring back the communities, I moved to Leicester last year. I was living in Derby, and before I was living in Southampton. And I felt like Leicester needs to bring back the communities. We have to build bridges among different communities. It's a diverse city, which is a unique point, which is a good thing, but at the same time, it needs to be organized in a way that different festivals, different communities can be part of this decision-making process of the city as well.
Yeah. I'm just with Leicester Stories, but I'm walking around asking people about Leicester, just wondering how you felt about the city.
It's all right. It's not the greatest, but yeah. Be better.
Is there anything about it that makes it feel unique as opposed to other cities in the country, do you think?
Not really, no. I think we could develop a lot more. Especially like, around the cities and around areas of the cities as well, especially for like younger children, get them off the streets.
Yeah. Is there anything, you know, anywhere you can go, anything you can do that gives you a sense of belonging in the city?
There's quite a few things. I quite enjoy the tree top house adventure golf, which is just around the corner there.
What about improvements? Is there anything you'd like to see change, different, maybe make you feel more like you belong, give you more things to do, more things to see?
As I say, it's mostly for anything for the younger generation. You've got no parks, really, that are within like a walking distance, to say like the city and stuff like that. There's nowhere that they can go to get them off the streets to stop any of the vandalism and everything that goes on around the city, so...
We're walking around Leicester today asking people about the slogan Build Back Better. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Now, if you saw it on Twitter or Facebook, what do you think it might mean?
Probably something from after COVID, like money back something.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd think, yeah, something like post-COVID, trying to build society back better.
I don't think... I mean, the there's a lot of hate towards the passport thing, the vaccine passports, because not everyone wants to get them, I guess, but it's personal choice. So I think that's kind of yikes. I'm not really bothered by it, so yeah.
No, I'd probably disagree with that. I think obviously the country's been divided quite a bit in like certain areas to do with COVID, and like I think it's obviously a lot better if we come together, like we saw with the Euros, everyone like just supported the common cause. I think if we can bring that into politics, it'd do a lot of good.
So you want to see a bit more community spirit in
politics? Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, yeah, I think that's quite a lot to ask for, but you know.
It's all just angry white people, really, rich white men in politics, to be fair, so.
Yeah, well, I can't find the lie there, so.
Yeah.
Hands up!
Hey, sorry, guys, I don't suppose you've got a moment to answer some questions. Yeah. They're just walking around asking people about Leicester. Are you from Leicester?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering how you felt about the city.
It's alright, and if you feel good.
Yeah? Is there anything about the city that makes it feel unique and stand out to you?
No, it's like a normal city.
Yeah. What about, like, is there anywhere you can go, anything that you can do that makes it feel like home to you? Like, make you feel like you belong? Any communities or?
No idea.
No? What about improvements? Anything that you'd like to see improved at all?
No, it's alright like this.
Yeah, you just want to see things get back to normal after coronavirus. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like in the day, to be honest, I come from a really populated city. So for me, it's a bit empty sometimes. And when the students are not here, it becomes even more dull. But yeah, I think I've been here for since 3 years. And I think the city center is like the best part. And the more you go away, it just loses. Because I'm an architecture student. And I have written a few essays on it as well. And it doesn't have a character. Like, it's not known for anything. Like, recently they discovered the King Richard III, his corpse and things. And that's the new identity we have now. But before that, it's just textile industries, we don't exist anymore. And there's the issue of dark factories, which also caused the COVID in Leicester and made it the red zone. But yeah, I mean, I like it, but I'm moving in a month. Yeah, so yeah, I think it's a good experience for students. Living here, I wouldn't live here. For students, I think it's a great place.
Hi, I'm Sarah. So I'm a lecturer. I teach digital forensics, and I've got background in IT and media technology. Basically looking at the things that have improved since the pandemic hit and the things that are still not working, and obviously working a way to actually make things better for everybody, because there's lots of good things that I found having talked through the entire pandemic online with my students, which was interesting, shall we say. Basically there's things from that we've pushed forward in higher education, and basically there's things that we've left behind because we couldn't do them, such as the big lecture. We've now moved things like that online, so it's more available for everyone all the time. They don't have to worry that they've missed their 10 a.m. lecture. In that instance, we can then do some more learning ourselves as lecturers and staff, and adapt the curriculum so more people are able to access it in a way that suits them more. So that's what I've been basically working on for the last few years, and we'll be working on more over the coming years as well. More community, I know that sounds like a bit of a easy way out answer, but basically, yeah, more between those of us that are maybe at university and more of the local communities. There's a little bit, well, there's still a lot of divide there. I want to see that more, us more integrated with each other and helping each other out, and you know, learning from each other in however way that may be. So basically engaging with our communities and helping them if they need some skills that we can offer them, and work with them to develop those skills, and that would be something that I really want to see happen. So basically kind of being more friends with each other rather than having this divide there, and finding out how we can help them in the way that suits them, rather than let's push this out to these people when actually that's not what they want at all. So from my point of view, I can see that there is a big IT-based gap. I also help out with Scouts in Leicestershire. And I've also helped out in other areas as well. And basically sometimes those groups, as much as we'd like to move scouting online, like we have done for the past year in theory, some of the actual participants don't have access to computers. And that's a thing we see around the immediate Leicester area, but obviously in certain areas it's more affluent and maybe they do have computers, but a lot of the students, even that go to schools in the city centre, even that maybe the sort of generic white standard families, they don't have access to computers either. So it's not just a one area, one minority, it's just a localised thing that I've seen across Leicester. So if it's IT skills from that point of view, then I can help out because I've taught IT a fair number of years and still doing IT things now. If it's other things, then obviously we need to work out what those other things are and then work out how we can help the people that want to learn those things to help them maybe move forward in a job. Maybe they've lost a job because of the pandemic. That's obviously a common thing. But yeah, if we can help out like that, then that would be my ideal. Probably a combination of those things. Definitely, obviously, you need somewhere to do it, but then there are places like, there must be empty places in the universities or the schools and other campuses. So it's finding a space and then working with what you've got. So if you have access to, in that space, IT, then obviously you don't need to fund any of the IT, but obviously other people to help. If it was just me on my own, that would be a bit tricky, but obviously I'd need to probably teach other people some things. If they're not coming in from a teaching background, they obviously may struggle at first. They may be all right, because obviously you do get natural teachers that just haven't done it as a career. So it depends on it, a lot of factors, really. And but it would be depending on the circumstances and what access to facilities there were and the available equipment as well. But obviously, because it could potentially involve younger people in the community. Obviously, we've seen over the past year that the government are not really excited about paying for students to have food in the holidays. So even things like that would obviously help and make it maybe even more, allow us to have a sort of a family affair there, where you don't just have to do it if you're the adult or the children. You can do it as a family, maybe activity. So some access for facilities to maybe have food or counselling type activities, I don't know really off the top of my head, but just the government to have a bit more thought about the young people in our communities and the fact that we, loads of us now, are struggling with even providing basics during the downtimes of the year. If they're not at work, they're not getting food. If they're not at school, they're not getting food, just that sort of thing. If they can help with that, because obviously no one wants to learn, or no one can easily learn on an empty stomach.
Well, my name is Rhys Stafferton. I'm a freelance journalist. I've been living in Leicester for 5 years, and I've recently launched a newsletter called Leicester Citizen, which is a news content provider for the people of Leicester and Leicestershire. We've worked closely with organisations like the Bureau Local to investigate local issues, as well as providing news reporting. It's the reason why many independent publications get started. News media locally is often advertiser funded, it's vested corporate interests, whereas I wanted to create a platform where people are very much at the heart of the reporting. I have about 1,000 readers, and a lot of people engage with the newsletter, and they give various ideas of what to investigate and what to report on. So it's really useful to have the community at the heart of it. Yeah, so I've got a degree in investigative journalism from De Montfort University, which was funded by Channel 4. So that was 3 years ago now, and for the last 2 years I've worked in freelance journalism, and I've recently had a particular interest around local journalism and collaborating with other local journalists to produce various investigations and long reads. I'm not from Leicester, but I've spent my last 5 years of my life here after graduating from university. And you look at other places in the country like Manchester, which has a thriving news output. There's so many different publications and newspapers there. Whereas in Leicester, there's really just one major local newspaper, a couple of community news organisations, and that's it really. Whereas, you know, Leicester's a big city and there's a lot to be discovered. Well, I think the BBC does great things locally, but they, of course, often here locally at least, focus on radio and the wider East Midlands television. seen, whereas written content goes ignored. We do have local democracy reporters embedded at the Leicester Mercury, which have produced some great written pieces. But I think with written newspaper journalism, traditional journalism, it's gone down a hole of advertorials and trying to get money through advertising and focusing on clicks and page views. And that's not what journalism should be about. It should be about the community, investing in the future of cities and towns and uncovering truths that weren't known before. It's just myself at the moment. It's a newsletter model. We publish on a platform called Substack. And I spoke to the people at Manchester Mill. And there's another publication as well, another newsletter called NN Journal in Northamptonshire. And they helped me get started as well. My kind of future hopes are perhaps to evolve this newsletter into more of a cooperative news media model, akin to Bristol Cable or the Manchester Meteor. They're very successful print and online cooperative models. And we see with other publications like Positive News, they've gone nationwide with a cooperative model and it really works. Well, I mean, if anybody cares about democracy, transparency, honesty, which goes amiss in journalism a lot of the time, if you have a passion for your local community and reading more quality journalism that isn't pandering to advertisers, then I'd say get in touch, because I'm just one person writing my newsletter every week, and quite simply that isn't enough. We need more people on board, and I think a cooperative model could really help people come together and focus on democracy and local journalism in a way that's not been really seen in the city before.
You're listening to Leicester Builds Back Better Stories, conversations about how communities across Leicester are planning for change following the pandemic. For further information about each of the topics covered in the programmes and extended versions of the conversations, go to Leicester Stories website, leicesterstories.uk.
I don't suppose you've got a moment to answer some questions. Thank you.
What's the questions,
Brad? I was just walking around asking people about the city.
What?
Just wondering how you felt about the city.
Don't come in ever after.
All right.
It's a pointless story, isn't it?
Is that because you don't like it, or just...
Yeah, I don't like the town centre.
Yeah.
Yeah, I genuinely don't.
Why not?
It's just a bit, I don't know, crowded for me. Mm. Not because of COVID, all right? I just don't like crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come in for our birthday.
All right.
Just to try and get some nice stuff, but... Mostly do online.
Is there anything about the city you feel like makes it unique as opposed to other cities in England?
Yeah, it's 5,000 to 1, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what 5,000 to 1 means?
Yeah, when we won the
Premier League. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my home as well.
Oh, so you lived here your whole life?
Yeah.
Is there anywhere in the city that makes it feel like home to you? Gives you a sense of belonging? Even if it's not necessarily in the city centre?
No, not really. Family, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's it. Anything? Sorry, mate, I don't mean to be boring.
No, that's fine.
I ain't keen on town centre. Look, it's difficult to improve when no one wants to come in here, isn't it?
Thank you.
The more people come in, the more they're going to invest. But I don't know. I've never really thought about it, to be honest.
I don't suppose you've got a moment to answer some questions.
I can do. Oh, yeah, I mean, I've lived here all my life, so that's literally all I can say, really. I think it's okay. I've not really left anywhere, so... I mean, at the minute, when over there, like, they've got all the rocket things going around, and I feel like the Richard III thing, when obviously they found him buried, which is quite cool. Just going out for, like, drinks and things with my friends, and also just walking around and shopping and things like that.
What about improvements? Is there anything you'd like to see different about the city?
I don't think so, no.
It's Leicester.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the city in general?
It's okay. It's not. Yeah. It's not the. I always tell people it's not the best city in the world.
But it's not the worst.
It's not the worst.
Definitely not the worst, but not the best.
Like, we went Nottingham the other day and we had to wipe our feet on the way out. It was abysmal. But Leicester's definitely. It's not. It's not like you have to wipe your feet on the way out of Leicester. Maybe a bit of a light clean, but it's not like terrible.
There's some nice stuff if you look up. Like, yeah, some of the nice architecture if you look up. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all right. It's got a bit of history at least. You know.
Yeah.
Some places don't have a bit of history.
A little bit of culture.
Coventry.
Destroyed them, yeah.
But I don't know where there's really room for improvement. There's a lot of homeless people, to be fair. That's never good.
That's one of those things. I mean, it's like,
you're going to get homeless people everywhere you go.
Well,
But we can help.
Some drastic change, man. Drastic change.
But there's Sabian are probably one of the best things to come out of Leicester, I think. That.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, did he come from Leicester? Yeah. Yeah. That and Blind Faith.
He dated my nan, apparently.
Did he? Oh, yeah. So there you go. You can. Well, it's that's about it. But it's all right. It's getting. I don't know if it's getting better or worse, really. But
both.
Yeah, both. A bit of both. I mean, it's, but yeah.
Leicester's not been good to me at all. No, I suffer from PTSD trauma, and the social services. Everyone's treating me so bad. I never used to speak out. And I've been crying 24/7 asking for help. Now I'm starting. They're not doing anything. I've got the Dylan Russell ways, arthritis. I've had a major operation. I lost my dad. Had a heart attack. Died on the theatre table. Nobody. And I am. And in lockdown as well, I've had to go out and get everything myself.
So I'm Roxana, I work for the NHS, I'm a support worker in mental health, and I also have my own organisation called Outspoken. So we aim to provide a platform for everyone to have a voice, because we believe that everybody should be heard and everybody's opinion is important. So I think for me, setting up that organisation was always about what is it that other people want to speak about, and sometimes we say, you know, speak the unspoken. So that's what Outspoken does. I also do lots of voluntary work. I also volunteer for Leicestershire Police, and we've got a new initiative starting, and the launch will be on the 20th of August, and that's called Neighbourhood Active. So it's about building communities and stronger links between the police and the community. So we're sort of that kind of middle ground, and try and sort of have a conversation with the police about what we think the community want, and then have a conversation with the community to then relay back to the police what they're saying. So it's about bringing them together and bridging that gap. So that's what I do. Well, when I hear new normal, I always go back. The first thing I always think is, what's normal? You know, what's everybody's definition of normal? And I think normal is such an overused word that when we say new normal, I always think, well, that's definitely going to mean something different to everyone. Build Back Better, I think, for me individually, is about what can I do that's going to improve on the stuff that I've already done. So what can I do that's better than what I was doing before? As a community, I think Build Back Better is more about rebuilding trust. So I don't think it's necessarily about building new things, but actually let's rebuild the trust, because I think a lot of trust was lost through the pandemic. And whether that was trust around the virus, whether it was trust between organisations and the community, or whether it was between communities themselves, because we had a lot of issues in Leicester, and I remember being on the radio about this, about language barriers, where I brought up a point that if people don't understand what's expected of them because they don't speak the language, or if it's sent in, say, publication, and English is not their first language, and they don't understand what they're supposed to be doing, if they're doing it wrong, then we can't really blame them. So are we sending out the messages in the right way that we should send them? So there was a huge discussion around that, and there was also things around Leicester being in lockdown the longest, so everybody was feeling that they were being treated unfairly. So there's a lot of, I think, rebuilding that needs to happen. So we need to rebuild that trust with organisations and with each other. And I think just rebuilding that trust that, you know, your neighbour is your neighbour and they do care. And I think there was a lot of differences that came up, and I think a lot of people sort of wanted to be comfortable with what they knew and themselves rather than other people. So everybody was in isolation, and people just didn't trust people anymore. So they wouldn't, you know, you couldn't just knock on your neighbour's door and say, I've run out of milk, can I have some? Because that just wasn't happening anymore. And I think it's just given us a larger gap to work with. So Build Back Better for me is more about how can we bridge that gap again, how can we bring people back together and build the trust within those, because without trust there's no respect, and if you haven't got trust and respect in your relationships within your community, there's not much else there. You know, you can put as much money as you want into communities, but that's not going to do anything if that trust isn't there. I think if we start from a level of humanity, one human to another, then the difference in diversity is just a bonus. That's just an addition to what we already have. Deep down, we're all the same. We bleed the same blood. We've all got a heart inside us. It's there somewhere. And we all just need to really just find ourselves. And I think this is just as much about the individual themselves as it is about the other person. So this is not just asking questions to others, but asking ourselves as well. Am I doing all the things that I've always wanted to do in life? Am I fulfilling, you know, life in the way that I expected to? If I'm not, why not? What's stopping me? Is it my surroundings? Is it my environment? Or is it me? So I think it's go beyond the limits. And I think that I would always say diversity is just the bonus. If you live in a diverse area, or you live in an area with lots of different age groups, whether that's age diversity, whether it's, you know, men versus women, whatever that is, actually just treat someone as a human first, and then take everything else as a bonus. And I don't think that we'll go wrong, because that's how I do it. Which is why I think a lot of people, when they asked me about this community initiative with Leicestershire Police, and they said, what, you're going to walk the streets at night? Like, are you not scared? And I went, no, because I've already done it. I was doing it before. They just happened to do a project that I actually just, on my own back, just was doing, because I was interested to know why there's 16-year-olds hanging around on the streets or in the parks at night. And I would go out at 9 o'clock at night and walk around and ask people. And no, I don't feel scared. And the reason I don't feel scared is because I know who I am, I know what my intention is, and I know when I go out there that I know how to be safe. So we empower ourselves first, and then we can empower others. So if I know what I'm doing, I know how I can get help if I need it, I know what I want from life, then I'm going to stand a much better chance to have that conversation with somebody else who maybe doesn't know where they're heading, or doesn't know what they want, or where they're at in life. So it's really about that self-awareness, first of all, but also to share a little bit of yourself, going back to that mutuality we talked about earlier, is where does that come from? Where's that mutuality? If we can find a connection with someone, we can build on that. And life is reciprocal. If I give you a little bit, you can give me a little bit. That give and take, we start to build on that, and that's what builds relationships. So I think it's all about that. I think for me, it would be for people to live in an area where they feel safe, where they feel happy, and where they feel able to ask for help if they need it. I think that they're the kind of sort of key things for me, because I think at the moment we don't have that. And I think that if we were to say that we've got a better society, a better world that we live in, then those things have to be present. We have to be comfortable with where we are, comfortable with who we are, and also if we need the help, we have to be able to ask, because they're the kind of things we don't have at the moment.
You've been listening to Leicester Builds Back Better Stories, conversations about how communities across Leicester are planning for change following the pandemic. For further information about each of the topics covered in this programme, and to hear extended versions of these conversations, visit the Leicester Stories website, leicesterstories.uk. Leicester Stories is supported by the Audio Content Fund and was developed with assistance from De Montfort University, the Documentary Media Centre and the Xynthia Trust. Thanks to Ryan Clayton for additional content production. This is a Decentred Media production by Rob Watson.